We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Jordana and Paul. And this just in, I had my teeth cleaned today. I thought we'd spend the next 3 hours talking about my teeth.
Any cavities, little Timmy?
No cavities. Nope. I haven't been flossing enough. My wooden teeth, though. I get splinters from my wooden teeth.
The braces went well?
I did the Invisalign, mm-hmm. and the teeth are straighter than they've been in 40 years. I had braces when I was a kid, but they tend to scrunch up naturally over time. And again, I'd like to focus on this, unless you're anti-teeth.
Keith Ellison was on with Chad today, finally, for
the first
time.
What, that takes priority over my teeth?
Since his divorce documents were unsealed.
I defer.
Shown to the public. Dan, Paul, and I were all listening. Great job, Chad Hartman and Lindsay Gensel, for getting Keith to chat with them. He comes on their show a lot. He's obviously trusts Chad, which is fantastic.
He doesn't trust you.
I guess not.
Or me.
No, he's come on. He must have been on the show at some point, right?
Crickets.
I know. I don't remember. Anyway, so he, you know, and Chad asked tough questions. And Chad first asked him about the unsealing of these divorce documents. Here's now what Keith Ellison said on the Chad Hartman show.
Having to see my kids and my very good friend and former spouse, Kim, have to talk about intimate details of our lives was heartrending. I do ask people to try to let us be a family. You know, look, the judge told us that the file was sealed. We asked and he said yes. And we relied on the judge and the court to honor what they told us. And then after they allowed us to put things in the file that were of a nature, that were a sensitive nature, they pulled the rug out from under us, which I feel incredibly betrayed. But, you know, those things were tough. But look, you know, no matter what happens, me and my family love each other, and I got the four best kids any man could have. They're the best work I've ever done. I'm incredibly proud of them, and I'm proud of Kim Ellison, too. She is an incredibly resilient, wonderful human being, and I just am sorry that the judge saw fit to do what he did.
You know, this is my opinion, and we would like to hear yours at 651-989-9226. I think Keith Ellison comes out looking better after these documents were unsealed and released than he had before.
I can't disagree with you on that.
And he sounds very classy when he went on with Chad. He's been a little radio silent, as I guess I would imagine. I probably wouldn't want to be screaming from the rooftops all your personal information. But it sounded like a very honest and humble conversation.
I'd still like to spend some time talking about the issues.
Well, he did do that a little bit later in the show.
Okay.
They did talk
about... Yeah, that's
about,
right. He did.
He did talk about...
But there's a lot of hand-waving, right? I mean...
Yeah, well, he...
on both sides.
He did talk about how Doug Wardlow said that if he gets elected, he would fire all the Democratic attorneys. And obviously Keith Ellison said that he wouldn't do that. Chad did ask him if all of this Suris, if all of this agita made him think about stepping away from the campaign.
Hmm.
No, because if I were to do that, that would mean that anybody could say a false thing about someone else and then they could change who gets to run. You know, I mean, I think it's important to stand up, be accountable, answer the questions, and go through the process, because if somebody makes a false allegation against you and you quit simply because you don't want to walk through the fire of it, and there is plenty fire of it, believe me, then what you've essentially done is empowered, you know, that side of politics that none of us believe is right.
Again, I think he comes out looking pretty good after all of this.
If you're a public figure, certainly if you're in public service, mm-hmm. if you're a politician, doesn't matter, left, right, center, can you have any expectation now of any level of privacy?
No.
I mean, now that we can go back digitally, 20, 30 years and dig up everything you ever wrote, everything you posted. I struggle with that. And we just get a little taste of it in the media.
Oh, not like politicians. That's why I would never run for public. Not that I have anything to hide. There's nothing juicy about me, but
I beg to differ.
Oh, please.
In fact, let's play cut number 4, Dan. You have that back in Jersey?
So did
83?
Did Keith Ellison's comments with Chad or his response to this whole thing make you change your mind about how you're going to vote for him? You know, we heard him speak today for the first time since yesterday when we had this conversation. Did his response, how do you view his response on Chad's show? Our phone number is 651-989-9226. Everybody wanted to hear his response, of course, to Karen Monahan. What is their relationship? What was their relationship? Here's what he said to Chad about Karen Monahan.
I can only tell you that Susan Ellingstead is a highly respected employment lawyer who is an expert in doing employment-related investigations. She took over a month to talk to every witness, look at every document, weigh all the information, and concluded that the allegations were unsubstantiated. That's what I have. I don't really have anything more to say about it than that. I wish everyone concerned the best. But, you know, I'm just going to say that this thing was investigated. I made myself fully available, answered every question would put to me, and the allegations were found to be unsubstantiated.
Was there a preponderance of evidence? I'm not an attorney. I don't play one on TV.
Right. I mean, but when you ask the DFL to investigate a DFL candidate,
it's like asking
the Saudis to investigate the Saudis. Like, it's that does not smell right to me.
Yeah,
but that's,
no,
what's he going to say about it?
Again, I agree.
What's he going to say? So if you have any thoughts, if you want to react or respond to Chad's interview, great job, Chad, again, and Lindsay getting him, 651-989-9226. Speaking of the Saudis, and hold on. Okay, Dan, no calls right yet. Speaking of, here's a fun text. Of course, Jordana, you would think any Democratic comes off looking, as you say, pretty good. Your bias is turning off many listeners. Could we stop having this conversation? Oh, my God. People only hear what they want to hear. I have never voted for Keith Ellison. I support Karen Monahan. I believe what she says is true. Enough with the bias. I look at the facts. The man came on with Chad and said credible things. Can I at least say good job for owning up to all of this stuff and talking on the record? Please, your bias is turning me off. I'm glad you don't have a show. Enough. Let's just talk. Let's talk openly. We're human beings. We all have bias. We share opinions on this show. It's what we do. Share yours. My phone number is 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226.
I have no bias, Jor.
Please.
I am bias-free.
Enough with that. I mean, that's so... We're going to talk about that divisiveness at 5 o'clock.
Polish the halo. See the halo? Can you polish that up?
No, but for us,
hey,
for people, Jor, to attack each other for having bias, we're human, folks.
But you can't let people get to you like that.
They just frustrate me.
I know.
It's just annoying. Enough already. Get off those talking points. Enough already. Just let's talk.
All of us kind of see what we want to see.
Yeah, let's not name call.
Some people evolve over time based on evidence. That's all you can hope for.
Mm-hmm. Well, we hope, yes, evolve. And it's okay. And evolution is what we're hoping for. You might have thought one thing yesterday, but now you have new information. You might think a different thing today.
It's not a sign of weakness to change your mind. I think it's a sign of strength.
Joe's in Minneapolis. Hey, Joe, were you listening in on Chad's interview?
Yes, thank you. For playing an excerpt a minute ago that I'd like to refer to, because Mr. Ellison said on the recording that he just played that, you know, throughout this he's made himself fully available. And I guess I would like to have heard Chad follow up on that a little bit, because for weeks Chad said on his program, you know, we have reached out to Keith Ellison and his people and we have not received any response. And I just don't think that that's really consistent. And I wonder, you know, it's really getting kind of late in the game. So he's had some time to keep quiet and, you know, craft a more palatable response. That's one thing if you guys would respond to, because I think that's a fair question. And the other thing is it just me, but this just seems that the tone is different this time around with this he said, she said, than it did with the Kavanaugh thing, because we were supposed to believe all the survivors, all the accusers. And I'm hearing some empathy from you guys that I don't think Kavanaugh got.
Oh, I gave Judge Kavanaugh plenty of empathy.
You know, that's fair, Paul. Yes, you did. I don't think George did, though. I really don't.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of empathy for Judge Kavanaugh.
And again, with Keith
Ellison. Well, thanks for your candor anyway.
Yeah, I'm being honest. I just don't think.
Joe, this cloud, call it what you will, the uncertainty over Keith Ellison, that is going to follow him, right? I mean, no matter what he says, it's going to follow him for years. There's always going to be sort of, in some people's minds, not everyone, but some people, there will be an asterisk, regardless of whether he wins the attorney general seat.
Mm-hmm.
The same, I would argue, with Judge Kavanaugh, that there's always going to be that taint of impropriety.
Sure.
And I would agree. That troubles me.
No, that troubles me as well. I just don't feel that the comments that I'm hearing is sour, and you're right, Paul, and I thank you, Giordano, for your candor, but it doesn't seem like it's the same tone that I'm hearing, and that frustrates me a little bit. But as far as Mr. Ellison saying that, you know, he's made himself available fully. I mean, he's worked fully. It's like, really, are you kidding? Chad had been trying to talk to you for weeks and had mentioned to all of us listeners, you know, that he's been doing so, and you know, hadn't gotten any response. And I just, you know, I didn't like that.
I think Joe's right about that. I think specifically the question that Keith Ellison was answering, and this is not in defense of him, it's just for clarity and transparency. It was about in response to the investigation that the DFL did. And he did comment on that right away, and then he commented on other stuff. But I agree with Joe on the fact that Keith's been radio silent on all of this stuff. He says he hasn't talked to Karen Monahan. He certainly hasn't talked to any of us. I mean, you know, when Susan Blanche was producing the show, she called his office every single day and said, come on with us. And we haven't spoken to him either. So, yeah, I mean, that's true. I don't know that he's been, and I know he told Chad today, well, he's been campaigning, he's been busy, he's been there. And we get all of that, but if you didn't have this, you probably would have been very happy to come on the show.
You can find the time, right? You can make the time to spend 5 minutes, 10 minutes on the air.
Right. Okay, let's take one more call before we go to the break. Let's see. Doug's been waiting in Osseo. Hey, Doug, thanks for calling in.
Hi. Will we become a society and are becoming more of a society of just make the accusation? You never, ever have to worry about answering, being accountable for what you're saying. I was fired for a job over an altercation, an accusation made. They found out 2 weeks later it wasn't anything at all. But the boss said, well, it's being fired. We don't want to waste time. All you need is the accusation. That starts right with the president. Somebody makes an accusation, nobody ever bothers to answer what it really was.
People remember the accusation. People do not remember the retraction.
Yes.
And there seems that is implicitly unfair. I mean, even if there's no basis mm-hmm. for the accusation, mm-hmm. if it turns out, oh, no, he didn't do it or she mm-hmm. didn't do it, a lot of people don't remember that. They just remember, oh, my goodness, wasn't there a cloud over this person?
Well, boy, Doug, I'm so sorry to hear about your situation. That seems horribly unfair. Do you have any recourse? Do you have a union or a recourse for being unfairly fired from your job? That sounds awful.
No, it's just an accusation, but we're becoming more of that. You never, ever have to anything, just make the accusation. You can see there's hundreds and thousands of accusations about women being sexually treated wrongly. Well, that's, I agree that happened, but it's a one-sided deal. I don't hear any of them coming up with any proof. Yes, there's a few trials, like with Cosby and whatever, but most part, you don't. All you have to do is make the accusation. Yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah, I mean, I get his point. And what worries me, and again, I said this before and I'll say it again, Weinstein, Matt Lauer, mm-hmm. Charlie Rose, who's the guy from Les Moonves? Mm-hmm. I mean, all these people, powerful, famous. I'm worried about the woman who's being sexually assaulted up at Bud's No Good Diner mm-hmm. in Sauk Center, mm-hmm. which doesn't exist, I hope, or I'm in big trouble. But in other words, somebody who isn't famous.
Sure. Sure.
And who isn't well known. And it that may be less likely to see the light of day and the antiseptic of justice than a lot of these rich and powerful people that have been brought down.
And let's remember that the accusations that are coming out today, Harvey Weinstein, Matt Lauer, Charlie Rose, there is credible evidence to back up those accusations. These are not accusations
right.
people are throwing into the wind.
There were investigations.
And then are just falling off the bandwagon.
This is
I was accused. I'm now fading
you're right.
into the background. That's, I mean, I don't know what happened to Doug. I don't exactly know. But if he was falsely accused of something, he has legal recourse to go get his job back and should use it. And that is the case with any false accusations. There is legal recourse to go and prove them false and then regain what you have lost. So I would disagree that there are just anyone can make an accusation and ruin someone's life
you
because we
stand,
do not have evidence of
you
that.
You have to stand up for your rights. There is a time and place to pick up the phone, track down an attorney,
That's
and
right.
stand up
That's
for
right.
your rights.
It's, if it is false. It's also 3:26, late for the break, back here on CCO.
My favorite text of the day, Joanna, relax and put your feet up on the desk like Paul does and take the show in stride. Politics sucks. Get over it.
Are your feet up?
Get over it, Joanna.
Are your feet up?
No, I'm no, not yet.
We have standing desks.
Give me a few hours.
I'd like to put my feet up. I know. I just
What's bugging you?
You know,
you
the,
said something
well,
to me in the break.
Yeah, but the divisiveness bugs me. Like,
well, yeah.
The minute I say, I mean, all along I said, you know, I believe Karen Monahan and I still do. But then I say, well, Keith Ellison, you know, he did well in the interview. They're jumping all over me. Oh, my God, she's a Democrat. Let's string her up. And they get crazy.
Well, they didn't quite
it's
see
like,
that.
Wow. Just chill it. What did I say in the break that you liked?
Well, but you also talked about a lot of men still don't believe women.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You know, we get these calls all the time that women can just say anything now and ruin someone's life. No, they can't. And that is not happening. And what you are seeing now with women coming forward with their stories of assault and abuse and harassment is the fact that they have been silenced for decades.
The dam is
has
bursting.
Burst.
It burst a year ago.
And even if they said something 40 years ago when it happened, nothing was ever done, or they were ignored, or they were shamed, or they were blamed. And now they have a voice. So they're probably not even looking for retribution right now or justice. What they're looking for is to be heard. So don't worry about getting your life ruined unless you harass, assaulted, molested, raped somebody. But give the women who or men who have been wronged in the past, give them a voice. And don't judge them. And don't immediately think that they're lying when they just want to be heard.
And I think about the victims of some of these priests, you know, the predator priests, which again, minority of priests. And yet some of these people, it took them 30, 40, 50,
That's right.
60
That's right.
years to come forward. And when people criticize them and say, why didn't they come forward right away? Say, unless you were in that position, unless this happened to you, do not judge, lest ye be judged. Right? I mean, the shame, the guilt, the fear. Yeah.
Everybody gets a voice. Everybody gets a say, especially if it's your story.
Yep.
It's also 3:32. When we get back from the break, let's talk what's going on the latest in Saudi Arabia. Mike Pompeo is back. New details again today. We'll open the phones once again on CCO.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
They made clear to me that they, too, understand the serious nature of the disappearance of Mr. Khashoggi. They also assured me that they will conduct a complete, thorough investigation of all of the facts surrounding Mr. Khashoggi and that they will do so in a timely fashion. And that this report itself will be transparent for everyone to see, to ask questions about, and to inquire with respect to its thoroughness. And I told President Trump this morning that we ought to give them a few more days to complete that so that we, too, have a complete understanding of the facts surrounding that, at which point we can make decisions about how or if the United States should respond.
That was Mike Pompeo on his return from speaking with Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman and the King of Saudi Arabia on his report to the President of the United States. As you heard in the news, the President said, certainly seems likely that Jamal Khashoggi has been murdered. And people are reacting to the U.S. reaction. In particular, Shepard Smith, he went on about a four-minute rant.
Shep.
Yeah, on Fox News, which I found fascinating. Here's a little bit of what he said about trusting, as Mike Pompeo says, trusting the Saudis to do an investigation.
The MBS, who's now accused of ordering his goons to the consulate in Turkey, where there's said to be solid evidence that they hacked a man to bits, is now essentially investigating himself. And the United States government is thanking his father. The United States, this nation, has been defending that oil-rich kingdom since long before 15 of its citizens were among the 19 hijackers who wrecked our world and killed our people by the thousands on 9/11. Depending and thanking for their commitment to transparency. The Saudis transparent. What could be more preposterous? Were the desert not covering the oil, would any of this be happening?
Shep was pretty upset.
Wow.
Are you? 651-989-9226 is our number. 651-989-9226.
And again, people are asking, well, what do we do?
What do we do?
What do we do? I mean, regime change? That hasn't worked out so well over the years.
And a regime lot of change. I mean, that, my goodness, that you're talking all out war for that to happen.
No, but I mean, people are floating some preposterous ideas. The world is a bad neighborhood. There are bad actors out there. What are the limits of what we can impose? I think there are things we can and should do. No question about that.
Pat Robertson had an interesting response.
700 Club.
Yes, of course, had an interesting response to all of this. You know, private citizen, not necessarily a cabinet member or a politician, but he holds a lot of sway and a lot of power and a lot of influence. Here's what Pat Robertson said in response to this issue of Jamal Khashoggi.
I don't think on this issue that we need to pull sanctions and get tough. I just think it's a mistake. Behind the scenes, the president can talk to the king and say, look, you've got to cool this thing and get it straightened out. But as he said, we've got an arms deal that everybody wanted a piece of. It's like, what is it, $190 billion? It's huge. And it'll mean a lot of jobs and it'll be a lot of money coming to our coffers. And it's not something that you want to blow up willy-nilly.
So it's the conversation we had yesterday. How much is a life worth? I mean, is it $100 billion?
Apparently, it's not worth $190 billion.
Yeah, $190 billion, yeah. It was an interesting response. Were you surprised by his response?
I was. I mean, it's...
Just because he's a man of faith?
Yeah, it's a slippery slope. I mean, I believe in the sanctity of life, and I think most people do believe that. So what is a life worth? I mean, this is more than just one murdered. And again, he wasn't a U.S. citizen, right? Saudi citizen?
He was a U.S. resident with a green card.
Right.
That means he could work here. That means he could get entitlements here. That means he was entitled to a lot of the American A, freedoms, and B, you know, entitlements. He was treated as if he were a citizen, but he did not have citizenship. And he had residency.
He was a contributor to the Washington Post.
Yes, he was.
And
yes,
they
was.
Published his last column today. And let's see if I can find that.
You have some of that over there? I pulled it up. I got to go sifting through my papers now to be able to find it. It was very interesting. I mean, it was an article on
I do
freedom.
I have it right here.
It's an article about Arab freedom.
He wrote, I was recently online looking at the 2018 Freedom in the World report published by Freedom House and came to a grave realization. There is only one country in the Arab world that has been classified as free. That nation is Tunisia. Jordan, Morocco, and Kuwait came in second with a classification of partly free. The rest of the countries in the Arab world are classified as not free. As a result, Arabs living in these countries are either uninformed or misinformed. They are unable to adequately address, much less publicly discuss, matters that affect the region and their day-to-day lives. A state-run narrative dominates the public psyche. And while many do not believe it, a large majority of the population falls victim to this false narrative. Sadly, this situation is unlikely to change. This is an excerpt of Jamal Khashoggi's last column, which was published today. They wanted to wait until they knew that he was dead, but they published it today. I'd encourage everybody to read his last column.
Some other fallout.
He speaks truth to power. And a lot of people don't like that when you speak truth to power, right? And apparently the Saudis did not like
They did not like that. I was listening to an interview with his editor on CNN, and she was saying how she was hoping that, holding out hope that he would come back and edit this article with her. You know, they would work on it together because obviously this wasn't this was a draft of what he was going to publish. But she was really choked up and saying how, sadly, she did it herself, but she certainly wanted to be as true to his words as possible, as they were his last words. Here's more about how Mike Pompeo is leaning, we think at least, leading in reaction to this. Before I mentioned that, before I play that, some other fallout. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin will not attend the investor summit, you know, that Davos in the desert that the Saudis were holding, which was really just a show of all these CEOs coming together, a bit rich, powerful people.
It's kind of like saying, hey, I'm not going to go to that party.
Right. It's really? Like the Coachella of CEOs in Saudi Arabia.
Does that send an appropriate message that this kind of behavior cannot, will not be tolerated? Do not ever even dream of trying this again.
Well, if he showed up, it would be way worse. I mean, I think he's made the right decision.
Right. Oh, no, I think he did make the right decision. Mm-hmm. But again, just this whole desert gathering of CEOs and not going to this. I mean, I don't know. Really?
I think Steve, well, whoever made Steve's decision, it was the right one. Here's more on Mike Pompeo on his return from the Saudi king.
I think it's important for us all to remember, too, we have since 1932, a long strategic relationship with the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. They continue to be an important counterterrorism partner. They have custody of the two holy sites. They're an important strategic alliance of the United States, and we need to be mindful of that as well.
It's interesting that he used the word counterterrorism, and I understand what he's saying with Iran and Yemen, but this was terrorism. This was something horrific that instilled fear.
It was premeditated
into
murder.
Into other people.
Right.
If you don't do what we say, if you don't print what we like, if you continue to speak out, we will murder you horrifically. That is the definition of terrorism. And he's saying we have a great relationship on counterterrorism. Well, they've now proven themselves to be terrorists. I mean, of course, that was proven before with, I understand, the 15 Saudis out of the 19 on the planes
and
9/11.
And the number of Yemeni children who have been killed, maimed. And again, that's a whole nother topic for another day. But what's happened in Yemen is a tragedy.
It just seems it's coming out both of the sides of our mouths. We do a terroristic act, yet we want to trust, or they do a terroristic act, yet we want to trust them with counterterrorism measures. I'm glad I don't have to make, well, I guess I know what decision
God
I
forbid,
would make.
Gas prices might go up 7 cents, Jordana.
It's getting harder and harder to stomach that $190 million excuse. It is 3:49. That is a Wicks and Jewelers time check. Wicks and Jewelers, explore expanded collections from the top luxury watch brands at Wicks and Jewelers Watch Fair, October 26th and 27th. I want a world where the Red Cross has enough money to help everybody.
Yeah, and this is what Americans do well, right? I mean, we have big hearts and we jump in when neighbors are in trouble, even if we don't know those neighbors and they're maybe 1,000 miles away. Two major hurricanes, Jor, in less than a month. We had Florence, tens of thousands of people sifting through the wreckage of their homes in the Carolinas. And now Michael, a tragedy for the Florida panhandle. But not just there, Georgia, into the Virginias, and the Carolinas again. So there are some things you can do. The Red Cross is working around the clock to get help to where it's needed. They've always been there. They'll always be there. But they need your help. They need our help. And coming up next hour, we're going to talk to Megan Mrozek. She's Regional Disaster Officer for the Red Cross about the current need. There are some things you can do. You can always call 1-800-542-9226 or text Red Cross, one word, Red Cross, to 90999 to make a $10 donation. But that's coming up at 4:10, how you can help our neighbors in the Southeast recover, get back on their feet.
And we're doing this in conjunction with WCCO-TV. They're having a telethon over there, and we are trying to help out. You've been hearing about it all day. So sort of a, you know, little radio effort to help, like you said, our neighbors to the
south. We're all in this together. God forbid when something bad happens here in the upper Midwest, the next time we have a megastorm, we're going to need help, and the Red Cross will be there for us. So
in our 5 o'clock hour, there have been physical assaults on Republican candidates here in Minnesota.
Yes.
That is not very Minnesota nice.
What happened to Minnesota nice?
That is not Minnesota nice, and we need to be more Minnesota nice. And we're going to be talking about that in the 5 o'clock hour. Hold on. I'm going over here to grab this because...
Oh, yes.
We forgot to give you the keyword on time. So sorry about that. The keyword is groovy. 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 That would have been a good word yesterday when we were talking about pot. It's groovy.
That's a word you don't hear much
anymore. Groovy, man.
Groovy.
Text groovy to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. Text groovy, G-R-O-O-V-Y, to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. And we will do our best to get the keyword on time to you next hour. Let's bring it back. Groovy. Let's bring it back.
Let's not. Along with bell bottoms and disco.
No, I love it all.
It's gone.
Bring it back.
Bye-bye.
We'll see you back next hour after the news here on CCO.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.